what's this extra show? What are you doing? Oh, wait a minute. We haven't done the study hall yet, which comes in the form of the latest part of our quote-unquote semester of the season with the playoff games. We're going to start off with the NFC, just because I think we'll be talking a lot about the AFC, or at least one game in particular. I think one game in the NFC will be really quick amongst us. Anybody getting the Seahawks against the Saints? I mean, the Seahawks are hosting, but...
I was kind of thinking about it, but the thing is the Seahawks defense isn't just... I don't think they're good enough to, like, take advantage of, you know, Drew Brees' mistakes that he's had throughout the season, so...
And not to mention, they don't have enough defense to stop all the receivers that they have.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
offense, okay, great. Let's move on. Now, let's get a little bit of actual analysis in this, because this one actually could be arguably the toughest game to pick. It's certainly one of the top two tougher games to pick of the four. And I am, of course, referring to the Packers facing off against the Eagles. The Eagles at the third seed facing off against the Packers in the fifth seed. You look at the quarterback situations. You got Rodgers on one side. You got Vic on the other. Two top quarterbacks. I'll get into... I see the look on your face. You're going to bring something up. We'll get to that in a second. The running games are sort of comparable. Not necessarily awesome, but good running cores. Defense is when it starts to get a little shaky for me. The Packers have an outwardly better defense, looking at just the roster, on the line and in the secondary and the linebacker core, which will take us to the X factors for this game. The look you were giving me probably related to Michael Vick's health, correct?
No.
Okay, never mind. Well, I'm going to put it down there anyway.
Is he all right?
No, he'll be fine.
He'll be fine for the game, but it's a matter of something getting upset. Just as when he was playing the Vikings, it's not that he took a really bad hit, but he got a thigh bruise and suddenly everything was different. Not to say that he's going to be completely useless, not that we're going to see Kevin Kolb start, but it's a factor. And I think the only reason why he did start last week is because number three was locked up. They couldn't do any better or any worse.
Right, yeah, because it was going to be either the Falcons or the Saints that had number three spot.
Correct.
Or, no, number one spot. Bears already had number two spot.
Yeah.
I keep saying number three is number four, right? Yeah.
No. Who's number three? And the Eagles had number three locked. Seahawks or the Rams were going to be number four.
Okay. Oh, you're right. Exactly. That's where I'm getting it wrong.
I
keep thinking of that.
It's weird how the first place could have been changed and not second or third.
Based on tiebreak, because the Bears beat
the Eagles
head-to-head.
The Saints had a better record. The Saints had a better record, and the Falcons had a better record than the Bears.
Right.
That's what the difference was there.
Right, but I mean, as far as the Eagles, they couldn't propel the second because the Bears had the tiebreak on them with the head matchup. Anyway, so that aside, other X factors I have marked here is the Eagles defense have beaten really only one offensively balanced team I can think of, and that would be the Giants, who really tanked both those games. Both those games Philly could have very easily lost. I'm sure there are other balanced teams they might have beaten this year, but those are the two that come to mind. And then also the health of Asante Samuel gives what they already have as a disadvantage on defense a further disadvantage.
That's what I was going to say.
Was Asante? Yeah. So, yeah, okay.
And then also Ellis Hoffman's on IR, their other corner.
Their other corner, right, which, you know, I know certain Bears fans are going to get angry at me for saying this, was a key factor in the Eagles losing to the Bears back when that occurred. But in any case, going through... Packers, Eagles. Weasel last week requested that he go first on all, so he will continue to do so. Packers or Eagles? Who you got, Weasel?
The Packers. I mean, we'll see how Aaron Rodgers does in the playoffs this year. Last year he did decent, but I mean, they lost at the end against the Cardinals. So
that's correct. That was an ugly game too.
Yeah, it was. But Rodgers has a lot to prove, and in the last 2 weeks, a loss to at least. Maybe 3 weeks ago, putting up three against the Lions, and
but bounce back retarded since.
Yeah, and retarded since as in 10 points against the Packers, against the against the Bears? I mean,
oh, well,
not
okay.
really
first
bounce
of all,
back return,
hold on,
so.
Hold on. Before you take it that way, let's get something clear. Remember, we talked about this. We talked about this in the NFC edition, edition of Week 17. A lot of those were drop passes that were causing problems for the Pack. A, B. What I know for a fact, they won two games in a row that they had to win, which, you know, playoffs, kind of that situation.
Oh. While the Pack, it could be them, but I'm hoping for the Eagles, and I will go for the Eagles.
I would have done the same thing as you did, Chris, pointing at the sheet where he already has written in that he picked the Eagles because of his dirty, dirty NFC bias, or NFC North bias.
Yeah. Nice.
Chris.
See, I go against what I was saying earlier, what I was saying games earlier a couple weeks ago about the Ravens Steelers, where I picked Ravens, I was like, you know what, I should pick the Steelers because the Ravens won the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Packers won week one against the Eagles. Four big. I was going to go with that. However, how the Packers offense is and how Asante Samuel's hamstring, you know, is not up to speed on this, and then Ellis Hobbs out. Their secondary is weak. The Eagles, they can't stop Greg Jennings,
Donald Driver, and James Jones,
and Jordy Nelson.
And Jordy Nelson, that's
last
true.
Weeks. I mean, they put up 38 points against the 30-45 against the Giants.
That's right.
Against the Giants defense. I mean, I got the Packers on this.
Also, I want the record to show that Weasel was a homer and Chris was not picking. Actually, no, you are a homer. You're picking against your division rival, Ingles. Well, since I'm the neutral party here who doesn't have an interest in either team's division here, let's call it what it is. We look down the list. The Eagles' defense is the problem here. I don't think they can stop the balanced offense in this situation. I think the Eagles will come out expecting the pass, adjusting to that, all worried about what their cornerback situation is. The Packers will run on them, and that will open up some ridiculous passing attack. I got the Packers, I'm going to say, by at least two scores.
Who are they going to run with?
Who are they going to run with?
Brandon Jackson and Kuhn.
Kuhn is a badass. Don't front on that.
Game starts.
And game, I mean, starts had a decent game last week, too.
Yeah,
that's a decent.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not saying he's the man, but the way it worked. Okay, hold on. If you want us to play this game, if the alleged good defense of the Bears can't stop starts in them, they're doing it. I thought they were such a great defense.
Continue.
Mm-hmm. That's what I thought. Shut up. Now, going over to the next AFC game, I'm doing the 4-5 game first, just to get it out of the way. Does anybody have the Chiefs?
I think all season, the Chiefs haven't really played against very good defenses, and when they do play
against
good defenses...
They haven't played
against
very good teams in general. Let's talk about that.
They kind of struggle, so
Chris?
Here's the other thing also. I mean, yeah, I'm going with the Ravens, but Charlie Weiss is announced as the Florida offensive coordinator, Florida Gators offensive coordinator. He's still over there through the playoffs.
I don't think that's a negative, necessarily.
But it kind of showed yesterday in the Raiders game.
I think what it really showed was a young team who didn't give a care. All that being said, I still got the Ravens myself. So with that, we head over to the game that I think is really the toughest to pick when you break it down. Now, people, I heard people in the sports media make the comment that the reward for the Colts achieving the third seed while the Chiefs lost to the Raiders, giving the Colts the third seed, their reward was playing the Jets instead of the Ravens. I think that is a little bit of a small reward, but I'll get to why it's not my turn, because Weedle's supposed to go first. Colts or Jets? Weedle.
I'm actually going to go for the Jets in this one. I mean, Manning, the defense for the Jets, well, they're kind of on and off, and they're giving up so many points to the Bears, but I think they're going to force some turnovers out of Manning. So,
of the single-dimensional concept. That's not a bad theory.
Yeah, I think they're gonna get to him, and we'll see if the franchise is actually worth something now.
You flip-flopping mother. I don't believe
hey,
you.
I hope he's...
The dude put up 31 points against an alleged tough defense in the Bears, and you still ain't happy.
Well,
Forget that. Putting Burdell, he scored three touchdown passes yesterday. No way.
He's been up and down. I want to see consistency, but we'll see.
You want to see consistency? Check your own quarterback core, Vikings fan. Why don't we talk about Jay Cutler for a minute, too?
Hey, let's keep it relevant.
I thought
we were talking about the playoffs here. Come on. Why are we talking about the Vikings? Moving on.
Chris.
Yeah. Call me Homer what you want, but preseason picks, the Super Bowl and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I had the Jets beating the Colts in the first round.
Ooh, look at that. Nice. Well, he's kind of locked to it, too. I mean, and let's call it what it is. The Jets are still alive, and thus Weasel could still have picked the Super Bowl champion, but not based on what I have. I got the Colts for one reason and one reason alone. I don't know how Sanchez has improved. That is a true statement. Mark Sanchez is a better quarterback this year than he was last year. There's no question. He still hasn't done enough to show me how he's going to answer to Dwight Freeney and Robert Mathis. He just hasn't. Not to mention, the kid's in his own head a little bit. Let's call it what it is. But the X factors I have listed down here are the Jets running attack. It shouldn't really, if they're smart, come down to what Sanchez does. They should run all over them with LT and Sean Green. Of course, that's if they can neutralize Manning's air attack. It may come down to a shootout without their own choice. Chris, who are our missing safeties this week? Jim Leonard. And I forget who their other starter was, but he's out too.
Yeah.
And they're down to Lowry at safety. He's a corner. That defense in the secondary, the one place you cannot be wounded against Peyton Manning, is a problem. Now, unless the Jets' front can compensate, I think the Jets have a real problem there, well ahead of where they do on offense. I got the Colts. So, wow, that was already our playoff prognostication. I guess it was sped up by the fact that we have, you know, a losing team in the playoffs and stuff. Anyways, that will take us.
The record.
The record?
Yeah.
The final record for the regular season. Well, you said playoffs were counting. This doesn't...
Yeah, but at least we usually go over the records before...
Okay, you're right. We do. My fault. Yeah. Weasel's all like, I'm a champion. You ain't won nothing.
No, I was just saying, let's talk about it.
It's surprising you didn't bring it up because you went 7-1 last week.
Yeah. I did. I'm awesome.
You know, me and Weasel won 5-3. So Weasel has a one-game lead going into the playoffs over you.
I'm creeping Weasel, up.
Weasel is 80-45. You're 79-46. I'm 76-49.
So he's got 8 games on you.
Four games.
Okay, I failed math apparently. So four games.
He's winning by four, but he's losing by four. Let's put those two together.
Four plus four, eight.
Eight.
I didn't hear you say winning by four.
You
carried
the one, you had three.
So, but even still, like, I mean, Chris is still doing an excellent job at 60% of his picks being right.
And I've already said I made stupid picks.
And there's a couple of those where they weren't actually analyst picks. They were more ESPN analyst picks. Oh! It's funny because John Madden and Joe Theismann are dumb. And so is Matt Millen. Anyways, speaking of things that were dumb, there were some debates we had over certain people's picks, namely Weasel's, I think, and one of Chris's, in my opinion. But let's see if we can't get past all of that as we go for our end-of-year awards. The same criteria as the midseason awards, the most valuable player, offensive defensive rookie, biggest surprise, biggest disappointment, and of course the most improved and coach of the year. Let's open it up. Let's do it backwards now. Let's go ahead and go with the coach of the year honors. Weasel, start us off. I know Brad showed this is not an answer.
Yeah. The coach of the year, I picked Bucks head coach Raheem Morris.
He went with Raheem.
Yes, Josh Freeman looks for real, and the Bucks, with a young team that started 10 rookies throughout the year, beat the Saints the last game of the season and just missed the playoffs with a 10-6 record, and the 10-6 record actually tied the Giants and the Packers. So.
Yes, and actually the Bucks arguably being robbed of their spot, giving up their spot to not only a losing team, but also an overrated Bears team that shouldn't even be there. But that's a different topic.
That was last year, 3-13. This year, 10-6.
Excellent point.
But yeah. Also, preseason, he said he's a
10-win
team.
Called it!
And last week, they said, well, you're 9-6, and everything. We're still going 10.
So Raheem said, suck it. Let's call it what it is.
I'm going a different way. I'm going with Mike Tomlin.
Wow. All right.
The reason why I'm going with that was because he had a 3-1 record with a 4-string quarterback at the beginning of the year.
That's, you know, that's early in the season. A lot of people have forgotten it, but that's a great point.
They won the AFC North. They went 12-4. And preseason pick, I had them as like a 7-9, 8-8 team. I don't remember exactly, but they were third in the division.
I think, yeah, I think you and I had them.
Yeah,
third.
I had them worse, I think.
I had them third. So I think I had them at 7-9. I had them on, not even make the playoffs. I even had them.
Yeah, they didn't make the playoffs on mine either.
Not even as a potential wild card. So that's why I went with him, because of
solidarity,
I mean,
man.
You know, the 3-1 record, you know, and then the 12-4, what was their record last year? They missed all their numbers.
Yeah.
Right. They didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's why I got him, but I like Raheem Morris too, man. That's a good pick.
For my money, Raheem Morris would have gotten my vote if he made the playoffs. Granted, again, it could be argued through no fault of his own that he missed. I like the Tomlin pick, but by the same token, I feel like they would have made the wild card spot at the very least. A one game difference there. I don't know. That Tomlin's a strong pick. I really should have given more thought. The direction I went was somebody who made some excellent personnel moves that I never would have imagined myself necessarily. Without the coach I picked, we've never heard of, well, that in, of course, inside the NFL and their Hard Knocks show on HBO. We never would have heard of Danny Woodhead. A rookie tight end, Aaron Hernandez, is not a vision. Fred Taylor's retired. And Algie Crumpler's also retired, for the record. Then Jarvis Greenell's is something special. And oh, who's Julian Edelman? Oh yeah, he's a big deal too. I am reluctantly going for Bill Belichick. Well, I do not care for him. The signature concept that Brian Hoyer comes in the last game, granted it was against the deflated Dolphins team, but Brian Hoyer comes in, still throws a touchdown himself and has an excellent game, pretty much 200 yards, is showing why Brady isn't the MVP in my eyes. It's the system. That system is run through this guy, Belichick.
And I think also they're set for the future too, because
let me cut you off, Weasel, because I forgot the biggest point I made. Somebody who executes addition through subtraction properly gets my respect. I'm an idiot and didn't mention Randy Moss getting cut.
Yeah, they have in the first 55 picks. I think they have 3 picks or so, which is.
You can't put that all on the head coach. That's some GM action, too.
Yeah, yeah.
But taking care of the things on the field, like the Danny Woodheads and such, that's him.
They're saying Bill Belichick's coaching tree is like a West Virginia family tree. It just goes straight up.
I mean, we had members of that tree in the Kansas City pick at the midseason. But, I mean, just the way these unknown players, Brandon Tate even, have produced on offense is ridiculous.
It's a system.
It's a system.
The system's working.
That runs
just like
this
college
guy.
Is a system.
Mm-hmm.
It's a system.
So with that, we go to most improved. Chris.
Most improved, I got Josh Freeman.
An excellent choice.
He was 10-6 record. He had 25 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, 3,451 passing, 3,451 yards passing, 364 yards rushing.
Okay. So, yeah, Weasel talked about Josh Freeman doing a good thing when he picked the Raheem Morris for his coach. Must improve. Do you have that? You good on that, Weasel?
Yeah, I was, 25 touchdowns.
Yeah.
I have the same thing, but, because, he went from 54-61 completion percentage, 10 touchdowns, 18 interceptions last year.
Right.
25-6.
He played like 5 less games.
Josh Johnson saw a lot of action.
Yeah.
So actually, he had more interceptions and fewer games. That's right.
But the ratio, at least. And so I picked the same. So I'll just throw out there also Brandon Lloyd, who's leading the NFL now. He has the most receiving yards in the NFL with 1,400 or 14 something. And when last four seasons. With 3 teams, he had about 800 yards.
Well, he's still going to have to get an honorable mention, because my pick, I stayed consistent with my midseason pick. I had to go with Michael Vick. simply on the strength of the fact that he was an MVP candidate until that fiasco that took place in Minnesota. Because what he has done to basically single-handedly take that team over, I mean, their offensive strategy is Vic to Jackson, Vic to Macklin, Vic to Celik, or Vic on the go. That's what it is, gentlemen. And I mean, if you think it's, if you can name another receiver that they hit regularly or anything else that's involved with their offense, yeah, I know McClain is their running back. You don't see him that much.
McCoy,
excuse me, thank you. I got confused with the Ravens guy. But the point is, you don't see him that much. Anyway, so that's my pick on that.
I got a rebuttal, but I'll wait on mine.
Oh, it's going to be relevant shortly. Interesting. With that, I got biggest disappointment. I'll leave this one off. We talked about it when we were involved with the NFC show, and I might have mentioned it in passing, a losing team in the playoffs. The entire NFC West gets my disappointment of the year. From the Niners, who we thought were going to win 10 games, to the Rams, whose receivers dropped more balls than I think I've ever seen in a game that mattered, to really screw over Sam Bradford. I mean, he played a good enough game as a rookie to win that game, which was a terrible football game in itself. But and then he throws a pick finally in the fourth quarter, and they're going to blame him. That's crap. Two balls of at least 20 yards were dropped. Another important third down reception were dropped, and there were more beyond that. Those are just the ones I can think of. And, oh, by the way, somewhere in there, we have the absolute and complete dumpster fire that is the Arizona Cardinals. Give me a break.
Speaking of that, there was a joke today on the radio about it that Roger Goodell is trying to see, and the Big Ten commissioner has talked about seeing if they can get rid of the NFC West and the Big 12 so they can have a 16-team bracket up there.
It would make the draft very interesting. Weasel.
Actually got Randy Moss. Now, he was decent with the Vikings for those three games he played. He had 12 catches for 166 yards, and two touchdowns. And, I mean, you can maybe blame the coach for him leaving, but the way he left was kind of, it was, there's a whole,
he started
there's
running
debate on how he left, but
the
yeah.
Problem.
Yeah.
Let's call it what it is.
Well, started that.
And so,
right.
People thought, you know, Brad Childress, the former head coach of the Vikings, couldn't handle him. He's not just a good disciplinarian.
He couldn't handle it.
And
Childress couldn't handle Favre.
And so he went to the Titans, and everyone was like, Jeff Fisher, he's great for him. 7 catches, 88 yards, no touchdowns. Now, that you would think that's maybe one game. That's throughout the 9 games he played.
Right. Well,
so,
played in Corinthians.
They're saying he did help out Kenny Britt, who came out strong towards the end of the year. I think he told him about helping him endure during games. I think he gave him some tips and all. That would have been good, I think, for the Vikings if he stayed on with for Sidney Rice and all. But
I don't know why Moss ever went to the Vikings. I don't know who thought it was a good idea. They didn't leave on good terms as it stood. And oh, by the way, you have some guy who looks like the villain or the protagonist in Mastermind as your coach. Let's call it what it is. That was a bad idea.
Yeah. So. That's fine.
But that's an interesting choice. I appreciate it from the standpoint that more was expected of him at the start of the season, certainly, than what he actually produced at the end. And from that standpoint, I'll give you credit for that pick, certainly. Chris.
I got the Miami Dolphins.
You can't fret on that. Although, in fairness, Weasel picked him at 7-9, but
it's
because of a loss to the Browns, Weasel. Come on, settle down. Look, even a monkey can pick numbers out of the hat. I'm just saying.
Reason why is because early in the season, week 4, I think, or something like that, they fired special teams coordinator.
Right.
Because of the two blocked punts that cost them the game.
And I think there were at least 3 scores directly on special teams that game, too.
Yeah, I think it was a kickoff return for a touchdown or a return for a touchdown.
Right.
All right. They were 1-7 at home. You know, 6-2 away.
Mm-hmm.
The talent they have there, they traded for Brandon Marshall.
Mm-hmm.
They're a good receiver, but then they abandoned the run. You had 2,000-yard backs,
that's
and neither
standard.
Of them got 1,000 yards this year. You abandoned the run. The defense, Cameron Wake, and, you know, with Vontae Davis and Sean Smith.
The defense is still a force. That's no question.
Right. But what you have, and your offensive line's still pretty good. Decent. I mean, You had Jake Long, who got injured.
They had a number of injuries on the line.
That's the other thing of the biggest disappointment is you should have shut Jake Long down 2-3 weeks ago.
Had him get
his shoulder taken care of now so we have no problems next year because his left shoulder is like left side.
And let me add this to it as well. Back when one of the few games where Favre was looking like he might actually matter for 30 seconds there, the Dolphins won a few games that they shouldn't have earlier in the season, winning against the Vikings, for example. And they were looking to be a promising team until that Patriots game made the whole season fall apart, from my view. They weren't the same team again. They got shut out by the Bears. They lost to the Browns. They lost to the Bills. Come on.
They lost to the Steelers on a bad call.
Well, yeah, there's that, too. That didn't help matters any either. But, I mean, the fact that they went from a team who can hang around with the Steelers to a team that lost to the Bills, there's your biggest disappointment concept right there. I think that's a very solid pick. And the Lions, right. Well, the Vikings did that.
There's one more. Oh, yeah, and then just their front office with Big Tuna leaving as well.
Yeah, but they kind of expected that. They knew he was going to leave very shortly after this draft, so...
Still watch out for him next year. If they get a coordinator in there or a coach, I'd watch out for him next year.
Interesting
that
concept.
They can go long in the playoffs next year with the team they have this year with defense and everything.
Assuming that they either get a better quarterback or put Henny in front of some sort of psychologist. I'm just saying.
Run the ball more. He'll be efficient.
That could also... Actually, that's a good point, too.
He was pretty efficient last year when they ran the ball. And they had 2,000 yards rushing.
Anyways, with that, we jump to biggest surprise. Weasel.
I'm going to go with Peyton Hillis. Now, he was traded from the Broncos to the Browns, and I didn't expect him to blow up like he did. I mean, he turned the Browns into, they were actually in games this year.
A force is the word you could
employ, yes. Looks like they have a solid running back, and also... They have Colt McCoy. So, Browns are looking like they have a decent future with the two of them. So.
I will request that you put one asterisk on the Peyton Hillis thing, because I was talking about him 2 years ago when you were here to witness that. So, that's the reason why I don't have him as an award winner for that, because of much respect. But he was a candidate for most of improved recovering from last year's injury.
Except the last 2 weeks, he hasn't done
it. Yeah,
they figured out he was there, and one of them was the Steelers' defense.
Yeah.
Come on.
He ran for 130 yards against them the first time.
Well, Chris.
Yeah. This is what I was telling you. Hold on a letter. Bigger surprise. I got Michael Vick down for this.
Okay.
Yeah, Vick is.
You can't put on that.
Reason why is because he was a third string quarterback last year.
That's true.
Okay. To make him most improved and everything, you know, you try to want someone that's a starter or someone that's moved up. He went third string. He was going to be second string this year. And then for the starter, the stats he had, that's why the biggest surprise, and the Eagles made the playoffs.
Convincingly, too. There are people who are talking about Eagles to the Super Bowl until the Vikings did. But I'm glad that you mentioned the number 3, because they're important to my biggest surprise. Last year, the 3-13 Bucks, being in a team that should have made the playoffs with 10 wins this year, Raheem Morris calling his shot, Bucks my biggest surprise on the year.
I'll add something on the Vic thing. He's also improved as a passing quarterback.
Oh, my God.
Like, for, I think his 8-year career and stuff, I think his highest completion percentage was about 55%. This year, he was about 64%.
Excellent stat.
And his touchdowns, interception ratio is very good. I think it's 25-10 or so.
And even still.
Or 25-6 or 7.
How many weeks did he go until he threw a pick? What was it, 6 or 7?
It was a while.
And it was against the Bears.
And it was kind of cheap the way
it
happened, too.
It was off a tip ball.
I mean, you know, props to the fat man who made that happen. But I was a little disappointed when I saw that. I'm like, oh, that was it? You know, it's kind of like seeing the end of The Sopranos, or like watching, you know, a boxing fight get ended in the first round. You expect something spectacular and you get nothing.
That was actually his second turnover. First turnover the week before against the Giants.
Well, a fumble isn't necessarily...
Still a turnover. That was the second turnover week what? 10, 11,
so it took him. 12. It still took him 6 weeks. Give me a break. Yeah, yeah. You know. So, that's an excellent pick, Michael Vick, for that. Moving over now to Defensive Rookie of the Year, Chris.
Dominican Sue.
Any respecting fat man would pick Dominican Sue. That's mine as well.
I mean, 10 sacks, 66 tackles, and an interception.
And those are all great stats.
Two answers, I think.
No, there's only one.
Okay.
But here's the impressive thing. Between him and Kyle Vandenbosch, the Lions' defense was relevant.
Correct.
The Lions' defense was relevant. I'm saying the sentence, and I still don't believe it. I don't know, man.
Only bad thing is he missed the extra
point. Yeah, lost the game for him.
He's fired. Weasel.
I have him too, and I actually have written down here. Lions' defensive tackle Dominican Sue helped the Lions' defense actually look for real.
Or relevant.
Yeah.
Nicely
exactly.
done. But by the way, Weasel, you're not a fat man. It's just a universal thing to respect from Dominican Sue.
Yep.
I'm just trying to think of who else, I mean, there could have been.
On the rookie side of the ball?
Yeah. Maybe McCourty. McCourty with the, he's a cornerback for the Patriots. He's overrated, really?
Yes. Give me a break. Okay, first of all, you got to face Chad Henne twice. You got to face Ryan Fitzpatrick twice. This is the biggest sham since Delpha O'Neal made the freaking Pro Bowl playing against Favre twice and getting 6 picks off of those 2 games. That's crap, Weasel. I'm very disappointed.
Can you name some other people on the Patriots season?
Jeremy Mayo?
Jeremy Mayo, okay.
Yeah, no, pick the other linebacker.
Brandon Merriweather, of course.
Brandon Merriweather, okay. But the thing is, they got a young defense and the cornerback play.
I mean, I can name the D-line, too. But
good.
Yeah.
For the Patriots?
Yeah, it was...
Well, they're passable.
Right.
They're passable.
Yeah, so... But that was just someone else.
But you could have picked the linebacker, the rookie ground, but I can't think of his name now for the
actually,
Patriots. Rookie linebacker that was out there
before. I changed my mind. I am not disappointed in you because you actually showed the disparity between Ndamukong Suh and the other defensive rookie. So good job, Weasel.
I take that
back.
Or that Barry guy from the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Eric Berry. Again, yeah, this is another situation where you're kicking retarded kids in a wheelchair, though. It's the AFC West, rather. Yeah. I'm just saying. And actually, I think they did play the NFC West because I know the Niners had to play the Chargers. So, yeah, that's a whole lot of weak football. So anyways, despite the fact that we mentioned the West as weak football, that's insignificant. We do, however, have the Rookie of the Year coming out of there. Does anybody else have anybody other than Sam Bradford as their Offensive Rookie of the Year?
Yeah, Bradford.
And if you don't, you're doing it wrong. Period.
The only thing I was debating on is the last 2 weeks wasn't all that great. And I was kind of leaning towards Mike Williams with the Bucks.
Oh, he's a candidate. He's a candidate.
But I stayed with Bradford.
I would give Aaron Hernandez a candidate nod. But even at that...
He got injured there late in the season.
Of course.
So
that's what took him out. You're right.
If you do it with the Heisman, I'm throwing it out now, too, with the awards.
Oh, yeah, there you go. So. But again, Bradford's Week 17 performance being poor was more on his receivers than him. That's
right.
What I named him.
But the reason why I picked him is because St. Louis was 1-15 last year.
Also, yeah, I was about to say he made a team that was worse than the Lions relevant. Simply put. Bringing us to Defensive Player of the Year, Weasel.
I have actually Bears defensive end Julius Peppers.
If you don't, you're doing it
wrong.
I'm just saying.
His stats, I mean, he's not at the top of the league, but with stats wise, 54 tackles, 43 solo. 8 sacks. I mean, a league leader has, I think, 14 and a half.
Yep, 14.
11 passes. Yeah, though he has 11 passes defended as a defensive end. And 2 interceptions and 3 forced fumbles. So, in the Bears' defense, he's actually bringing them back to dominance, and he's been an integral part, so.
Well, okay. That back to dominance thing is
Bears
your... I'm trying to get Nana thing for the week. That's cool. But I will give you this compliment. Thank you for doing my job for me. You explained why Julius Peppers is the candidate for the winner for Defensive Player of the Year. But I would say this, that is a one-man team concept. Because last year on that defense, the only thing that was really different, Julius Peppers. Just saying. Chris, who you got?
I got Eli Manning.
As Defensive Player of the Year?
Yep. 45 interceptions for the year.
5 fumbles.
I'm kidding.
Folks, for those listening to the show, we apologize for the car wreck that just occurred. Well, I usually rely on Weasel for that, man. Okay.
I could have gone with my midseason pick with OC or Manera because he had 11 and a half sacks, 10 forced fumbles on that.
Mm-hmm.
I did, but however, I went with Cameron Wake.
Yeah.
Cameron Wake is an interesting choice.
Yeah, he was the sacks leader for the year, 14 sacks.
And his stats are, I would argue, are kind of diluted because he played with such a poor offense. He had more attempts, but even still, Cameron Wake's a decent choice. I'm still going to have to declare overruled by Julius Peppers. I'm sorry, but for my money, if you didn't pick Julius Peppers, you're doing it wrong. I just like saying that too. Whatever. That's what. Offensive Player of the Year, Chris.
Got Matt Ryan. 28 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. He has led Atlanta to 13-3 record. And Roddy White was, 1,400 yards receiving this year. He set Atlanta's franchise record for most of catches in the season. It was, 114 or something like that. That's who my offensive MVP was.
Okay. Weasel.
I picked the Texans running back, Gary Bosch.
Excellent pick.
1,616 yards. 16 rushing touchdowns, 604 yards, and 2 touchdowns receiving. So.
Well, you are sort of citing that it's a stat-heavy concept.
Yes.
I'm not even following this up with stats. Yeah, I got Tom Brady. On the strength of playing a weaker division as well, but he also did top the Steelers as well as the Colts. And the entire schedule for the Patriots was okay, just a lot of
unfortunate. Here's the thing about that with Arian Foster. He's an AFC South.
Mm-hmm.
He goes against the Colts' run defense, isn't that great?
Which is crap.
Titans' run defense, isn't
which is
that
worse.
Great. Jaguars' run defense.
They go by week to week, but they're certainly not strong.
But still, but then when they face good teams, he had 24 yards rushing against the Giants, 16 yards rushing against another team like 2 weeks ago.
Finding weakness in the Aryan Nation.
So those games, because I was thinking that too. Oh, yeah, when you always look at offensive, MVPs, you always look at, let's look at running backs because of yards. Yeah, granted, he had the rushing record this year of 1,800 yards. What did you say?
16-16.
Yeah, 16-16. I mean, Chris Johnson was third with 1,400 or 1,300 or something like that. So, running backs weren't all that great. I think it was more of a pass-happy league this year.
Oh, absolutely.
But, I'm just there with Arian Foster. I was just looking at the two or three games he had that weren't even, he didn't even reach over 30 yards in like 3 games.
So, for MVP, just like it's the study hall, we're going to start with Weasel. Weasel.
I'll go off your Tom Brady thing where even after Moss was traded away, he still dominated. Now, you can call it a system, whatever, but making the passes, he had 3,900 yards receiving. Now, you can say it's a system. 36-4
we did say
touchdown
it's a system,
to interception
actually.
Ratio. 36-4. And does he still have that streak of passes thrown without an
interception?
You can call it a system and all. You've got to make the throws, and he's been doing good. So
I want to hear any crap about a radio, okay? Or a ratio. No, I'm just kidding. But even still, that's on the strength of a system and an offensive line that does not get enough cred ever since that Super Bowl where they did get shredded, but I digress. Chris.
I got Tom Brady also.
Oh.
Just because I'm looking at the MVP, there's no one else really out there. I mean, that 335 attempts without an interception is nice. However, they don't throw the ball deep that often. They don't take 2-3 shots a game downfield. He does have that good line. Peyton Manning, we picked last year's offensive MVP, he had that good line too. He's making these other receivers, like you said earlier, the
Brandon
Woodhead, the Brandon Tate, the Edelman. Making these others, they got rid of Moss, they got it better. It's
addition by subtraction.
Right. But that 4 interceptions for the year. The Patriots have 4 interceptions returned for a touchdown. Same amount that he's thrown. I know it's a system, but I got him. There was no one else I could think of that was just put up the numbers with him. Even though I am from New York and I hate Boston.
Thank you for backing me up on that.
I had to go with that one.
Okay, well, first of all, I'm going to eliminate the very audacity that you actually agreed with something that Reva said. I'm not even going to take it there, okay? But we all keep talking about attempts. Something I find very interesting. Tom Brady attempted to throw the ball 492 times. Sounds like a lot. It really does. It sounds like a lot. My selection threw the ball 679 times. Peyton Manning, you're damn right. Okay? Don't give me any of this crap about, oh, well, you know, Danny Woodhead. Was like, yeah, I know I said that too. Here's what else I know. Who the heck would Jacob Tammy have been without Peyton Manning? And you can't say anything about the coach there. Do you even know the name of the coach in Indianapolis?
Yeah, I do. I can't think of his name off the top of my head, though. But, yeah, I did.
Caldwell, right?
Yeah.
Problem is, I have to be careful not to say Andre Caldwell instead of his actual name. Okay? Because, you know, it's a receiver who's played for the Bengals, if anyone's wondering who Andre Caldwell was. But, I mean, I don't want to whip out the calculator and talk about the difference in disparity, but just by eyeballing it, it's almost 200. Okay? No! I can't recall a game where Brady's thrown the ball 50 times. Manning has had more games he's thrown 50 times, in some cases, than he's thrown less than 40. Okay? There was no multiple dimensions to the offense. There was one. Especially when you're missing Joseph Addai, I think Simpson,
Mike Hart, Donald Brown,
Chad Simpson, all of them, he did get traded, right. You're missing all of them. You're coming out with Javaris James, who's Edgerrin James' cousin or whatever, as a running back. You've changed your offensive line because you wanted to run more, and it turns out they suck. And here's the beauty of it, even without that good offensive line, Peyton Manning still took him to the playoffs. But he had that stretch of 3 weeks where he had 11 interceptions. So what? Okay, did he not still take his team to the playoffs? Was he not short more players then than any other time? Were the Colts not short 17 players on injured reserve? And you want to give me this Justin Bieber mess? Suck it. I'm just saying. And I mean that in the nicest way possible, boys.
How many interceptions did he throw again? Right there?
17.
I don't know what the total is. Is it 17?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right, because it was 42 total for him and his brother. Which was the same amount of turnovers the Giants had total, also 42.
They say in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy that 42 is the answer to everything. Apparently, it's also the answer to the number of turnovers the Giants had.
And the Manning brothers threw interceptions.
You know, not to mention the Colts didn't have the advantage of playing the Bills twice. And I don't remember the Colts losing to the Browns either. Just saying. Just throw that out there for consideration. Anyways.
They did lose to the Jags.
They did lose to the Jags.
They did
but...
beat... Hold on, I got it right here. Hold on. And since that Jags loss, they only beat Kansas City 19-9. They beat Washington only 27-24. They beat Cincinnati 23-17.
That's some juggernaut.
Tennessee 30-28.
Another juggernaut. Time.
Did they lose to them? No.
But, and then 23-20. And then they beat Oakland only 31-26. So, I mean, these other weaker teams.
These are close games, but you have one dimension. You have one guy. Football is a team sport, folks. And it's him and Jeff Saturday, man. That's the center, for those who don't know their own linemen. And you're going to try to give me this Brady mess. I'm just saying.
I just thought the four interceptions was pretty impressive.
That's nice.
Even though you got the system and everything, but, you know, you're saying, did you ever know who Jacob Tammy was? Did you ever know who Brendan Tate was?
No.
Or Danny Woodhead, who looks like a high school guy.
No,
Danny
Woodhead
like
we know because of Hard Knocks and everything.
Yeah,
well, still. But, you know, Edelman.
Yeah, but still is your defense, you're cut.
Did you ever hear him before?
Yeah, last year he was pretty strong, but he was a development of the system. When Wes Welker was hurt, they plugged Edelman into the system, and he produced. I'm just saying. So, anyways, that aside, apparently Chris and Weasel like girly music because they cheer for Justin Bieber, and I apparently like country music now because I picked a hillbilly for my MVP. All that aside, those are our MVP picks. You can certainly see MVP, our season-ending picks, our rewards, plenty of controversy. You could go ahead and weigh in on the said controversy by emailing us at thesotg@gmail.com. In case you're checking out this podcast by a subscription in iTunes, you can check out the website at www.thestudentofthegame.com. You could also follow us on Twitter at thesotg. And with that, we'll see you in the playoffs.